It's Friday night. You're sitting at home watching television, reading a book. You're single. 20 years ago, you might have headed out to a bar hoping to meet someone new. These days, you don't even have to leave the comfort of your living room to find your next date. Journalist Dan Slater says about 30 million Americans have thrown the fate of their hearts, and not to mention a few other parts, on the mercy of digital matchmakers. He told Steve Paulson what he discovered while working on his new book, Love in the Time of Algorithms.
Dan, you just got married, right?
I did. I got married a week ago Friday down in Las Vegas.
Wow. Congratulations.
Of all places. Thank you very much, sir.
And I have to ask, of course, did you meet your wife on an online dating site?
You know, I did not, but there was a technological component to how we met. When I first asked her out on a date, she said no because she had a boyfriend. And so, you know, a couple of years passed, and I was on Facebook one day, and she popped up in that right-hand column of the people you may know. And so we started to chat, and it turned out that she was single, and so was I. So that's how we reconnected. So it wasn't online dating per se, but I think without Facebook, I would not be married to her right now.
You know, I have to say, this whole world of online dating is pretty foreign to me. And I've been married for nearly 20 years. So
sure.
You'll have to help me out here. There's a fascinating figure that you have in your book. You say that about a fifth of all new relationships begin with people meeting online. What kinds of dating sites are out there?
Oh, there's a dating site for everything now. I think the big ones, the big brand name ones, are the ones that a lot of folks have heard about. These are sites that have communities of millions of people on them. But then once you go beyond that, there are over 1,400 dating sites in the U.S. alone and thousands more abroad that pretty much cater to every interest, hobby, fetish, fringe thing you can possibly imagine. I think that dating sites, after they've been around for a while, they acquire a brand similar to how a bar or some other real-world meeting venue might. So now there is a bar, so to speak, on the web for people who are Star Trek fans. There is even a bar for young men who want to date a grandmother. It is all over the map.
I suppose there are some distinct advantages to using these online dating sites. I mean, the obvious one is that you can widen your search. My understanding is that some of the online dating sites make the claim that they are scientific. They have some sort of algorithm that matches up people who are meant to be together or have a good chance of hitting it off. And so this raises the obvious question, is there a science to online dating?
That's probably one of the more interesting questions. There is a vast divide between what psychological science and the academics say is possible and what sites like eHarmony, for instance, what they say is possible. eHarmony will say, we can find you a compatible mate. We can find you someone to marry. The academics say there's no ability to take strangers and say, okay, you and you, you can go off and have a successful 50-year marriage together.
What kinds of data do these sites use? What goes into the algorithms?
Many, many things go into the algorithms. There are some sites that will ask you nothing when you sign up. You need to post a picture and say what your age is and say where you live. But the majority of sites have you input some kind of information. They might ask you 5 questions. They might ask you 500 questions about yourself, about what you're looking for. Other sites will do what is called behavioral matching. So they say, look, people are not very good at assessing themselves. They're not even very good at telling you what they want because they don't know what they want. So we'll be more accurate and we'll be more helpful if we just watch them on our site for a while, see how they behave.
So what would you say online dating sites are best at right now?
I think what online dating sites should aspire to is making a compatible first date. I think that's a fairly amazing improvement over all the rest of dating in, you know, in human history.
Now, there's also new technology, mobile dating. I mean, among gay men, you write, Grindr has been a way for people to know who's available right now and within a certain geographic area. And apparently, this was so popular that during the 2012 Olympics, the server crashed because it was so heavily used. And they've just launched a similar app for straight people.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about this.
Well, I think there's been a lot made of sort of the mobile dating phenomenon because when people think about it, they sort of imagine, hey, I've got 15 minutes to grab some lunch in Midtown. Who's within 400 feet that wants to join me for lunch and or you know, dessert. I think that that will happen to some extent. There will be this sort of meeting on the fly, especially for younger people.
Now, I would think one of the challenges for people who've done a lot of online dating is that even once they start a new relationship, and let's just say that's what they're interested in, that there would always be this temptation to want something better because there are a lot of fish in the pond.
Well, this is a big theme of the book. One of the things that I attempted to do with the book was to look at what I call the data sphere, the entire world of online dating technology, from Facebook to Match.com, et cetera, and to figure out what this means for human relationships. And what I found in my reporting, speaking to both men and women, speaking to both younger people and older people, was that they found themselves dating a lot more. And I think people who are in happy relationships, I don't think they're going to be hanging out at online dating sites looking for the next best thing. And I think for the ones that tend towards unhappy, the existence of online dating technology will challenge those relationships. And I think for the most part, that may be a good thing.
Dan Slater's book is called Love in the Time of Algorithms. In the uncut version of his conversation with Steve, you can hear more about social media's role in the data sphere. He also told us a fascinating tale about one service that takes single men down to Latin America for a dating holiday. You can find that uncut interview at ttbook.org.